Welcome to the Club 937 podcast. I'm Jay, the producer, and this week we have no guest. We also have no Dan or Greg, so it's just me and Tez having one of the strangest conversations we've ever had on the show.
Yeah, I think just for all intents purposes, you got to hit us with the song. We missed.
I gotta do the song. You're gonna make me do the song.
Do the song, man.
This is for you, Dan.
Get old. It'll never get old.
It's been old since the first time I did it.
Nah, that joint cranks. Next to the original song that we had with us, the 10, that song, that's a good song. That's a good intro.
I guess. Well, I mean, we still got the 10 Roars one in the beginning. That's what goes up on the shows that get published. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So people don't even hear. Only guests hear.
Only guests hear this song. The only reason why we ever play this song is to get Dan in the mood to do an episode.
Oh, man. You have got at least one time. I just thought about it. One time you got to play it so that the people know what we're talking about. Right. We, dude, there's been like so many episodes where we've been like, just play the song. Just play the song.
Yeah, and but people... I always cut that out. That whenever I edit the podcast, I always start it after the song, and so like you never hear anybody asking me to play the song.
I never thought about it.
Yeah, well, that's
here you go. I just asked you. So
nobody pays attention to what the editor is doing.
Clearly
we're just sitting in the background making magic happen.
Well, we appreciate you, of course.
I appreciate being appreciated, Tess.
Man, well, tonight, Jay, is just me and you, dude.
Yeah, we got we had a guest lined up. They had some family matters that came up, and they had to cancel, which is totally fine. And Dan has his thing going on. Greg is
MIA,
and so yeah, we. but we're dedicated. Damn it.
So, the two truths.
Hey, look, this started off as a conversation between us, man. This whole podcast started off as a conversation between me and you.
I hit you up and telling you that I just had this idea.
Yeah.
And that, man, that was pre-COVID and everything.
That was, it was pre-COVID, and I was like, yeah, let's do it. I'll teach you how to edit. Because I was like, yeah. I'm busy. I'm not gonna be a part of it. But I'll teach you how to do it.
And here we are.
And now here we are.
Like 4 years later.
Why did it take so long? We talked about it once, and then we just didn't talk again about it for like a year.
Well, when we first started talking about it, then yeah, not so long after that, we had the fire when my first apartment caught on fire.
Oh, right.
Yep.
Right. If I remember correctly, I think the idea originally had nothing to do with music. You were trying to start a podcast that was like focused on other dads who had kids with CF.
Yep. And so. Then, we went there, and then I started asking around and talking to other dads and stuff like that. And you know, they said it would be cool. They'd love to be a part of it. But then the waters just got real muddy with using whatever we can use with CF and not getting in trouble with the foundation and getting cease and desist and all that stuff like that. So it kind of just like, it killed the vibe, if you know what I mean? So
I get that.
I didn't want to father, because I didn't want to accidentally get us into some trouble.
Right.
But, you know, what's the next best thing that we all know? Music. So, yeah. You know, it's a lot easier, a lot of fun with the different artists and, you know, us, you know, finding out our likes and dislikes. And I mean, we kind of knew it already, but to go in depth with one another, I don't think we've had those type of conversations in a long time.
Yeah.
So, man, it's been quite the journey. It's been, you know, it's been quite the show and the experience with you guys, man. So, you know, I appreciate everybody. Like, really, yeah. You know, you, Dan, Greg, just being a part of it. And really, it's cool to watch this idea that I had just blossom into this actual thing. You know what I mean?
It's, yeah, I know that feeling very well. It's a cool thing to be a part of, man.
Yeah, man.
You know, fun little fact, actually, I had a very similar experience to you. I actually started a podcast a long time ago called Music Saves Lives. And the whole premise of it was going to be kind of like a hybrid between like music and how it helps in like self-improvement and recovery and all that stuff and, mm-hmm. and the role that it plays. I mean, I have Music Saves Lives tattooed across my chest, literally. And I got like a couple episodes in, I think, and all of a sudden I got an email. Apparently, there is a guy also named Jason, by the way, who runs a charity called Music Saves Lives.
So rather than him reach out to work with you on it, what'd he say?
I mean, he was really nice about it. He was just like, hey, you know, just let you know, this it is trademarked and all that stuff. You know, it would be cool if you and I could do something together. Maybe I could be a guest on your podcast at some point, but like, because we're trademarked, I have to ask you to like change the name of the show. Like, he didn't tell me to like stop the podcast or anything. He just asked me to change the name of the show. Which I did. I changed it to No Life Without Art.
Okay. So what happened with that?
Same thing that happens to almost everything that I do. I'm a great starter. I'm really good at starting things. I am horrible with the follow through. I've joked about this on the show about having like horrible like ADHD, but it is like it's a real thing. Like it's very, very, like I was diagnosed young. I was diagnosed when I was like 12, I think. And I was on medication for a while and then I got off. But like, there are a lot of aspects of my life that like ADHD plays a major role. And that's one of the things. I get these crazy ideas of things that I'm going to do. And I will spend like a ton of money getting it off the ground. And then I just drop the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's. Yeah. I'm real bad with that. I've done that with a couple things. Like I have my YouTube channel. I have a channel membership. So like people on top of like watching my videos, they can actually subscribe to my channel. It's like a few bucks a month. And I used to have, right now it's just a few bucks a month. And it's like, hey, occasionally if I create like a new preset for DaVinci Resolve or a new color grading pack or something like that, my channel members will get it for free. But there was a point, I was real ambitious in the beginning. Like, I was stupid ambitious in the beginning. I was like, all right, there's these four tiers, and if you're in the highest tier, you get like a monthly one-on-one editing, you know, coaching call with me. If you're on this tier, I'm going to do a monthly live stream where I'm going to teach you some editing stuff. You're going to get like daily community-only posts. And like, it was insane. There was no way that I was going to be able to do this. Like, even if I was like neurotypical, there was no way a one man band can do all that.
Do all that. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot.
It's a lot. See, what happens in my brain, I'm already at my end goal. And my end goal is to have like, I want a team. I don't want to like hire an editor who's part of an agency. I want an editor to be part of my team. I want somebody who's like doing the community management. I want other people around me. I want to have like a warehouse that's my studio and editing mm-hmm. bays and a green screen room. Like I want to do the thing. And in my brain, sometimes I start thinking about what I would do when I have this team behind me. And I get so excited about it that I try and do it by myself.
Not with a laundry list that long.
No.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
So yeah, that's basically what happened to the podcast. I started it. I did a few episodes, probably like five or six episodes. And then, you know, something happened and it distracted me. You know, maybe I got injured or sick or something. And it's like going to the gym, you know, when you're doing it and you're like really working at it, it's routine and it's easy to go and do it. But as soon as you stop, you get injured, you get sick, and you gotta like take a break for a few days.
It's hard to
getting back in there's rough, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
we did. We went over the summer, we went to the beach for 2 weeks. And when I tell you, when I came back, I did not want to go.
Yeah.
But because it's starting all over again. Like it's starting all over again. But once you get going, man, you know, you kind of, once you start feeding the beast, it just, they say it's 21 days to form and break a habit.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, I'm back in the habit of eating right now. Like I dude, when I moved to Ohio, let me just tell you, everything stopped. Like before I moved to Ohio, I was going to the gym. I was eating right. I was in the best shape of my life. I moved to Ohio, everything stopped. The gym that I was a member of, like the nearest one to me here, is like too far away to walk, and Arian has the car most days. So like I wasn't going to the gym. Before we moved, I sold all my home workout equipment because I was like, oh, I'll just go to the gym in Ohio. I stopped watching what I was eating and everything. Dude, you've met Arian's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago, I stepped on the scale. I weighed more than he did. I had him by like 5 pounds.
Good Lord.
I'm 5'5". I weighed 211 pounds.
Bro, that's more than me.
Right. So, and like other stuff was going on too. I had started, instead of waking up at 4 a.m., I was waking up at 6 a.m. And that caused a whole slew of problems with like, you know, basically waking up and jumping right into getting the kids ready in the morning. And it was like freaking out. And I was basically jumped in chaos mode. And it was like, if I wanted to work out, then I had to shower. And then I wasn't starting work till like noon. So I was like, well, I can't just work 4 hours a day. So I wasn't working out. I bought some stuff to work out at home. So, you know, over the last like month or so, I've been doing like baby steps. Like first we started waking up at 4 a.m. again. And I started doing that. I got some more work time in the mornings, and I was a little bit calmer throughout the day. I wasn't freaking out. I still leave all the damn cabinets in the kitchen open. That apparently is an ADHD thing.
I know.
I leave all the cabinets open. I get yelled at it all the time, for it all the time. But yeah, I started waking up before. That helped a bunch. Last 2 weeks, I got back on, I use this app called Noom to watch what I eat.
Yeah.
And weighed myself this morning. I'm down 5 pounds.
Where's the?
Oh, do I have to clap for myself now? Where's my cheer?
Yeah. All right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, we'll fade
when
that
it
out.
Comes to, man, when it comes to stuff like that, when it comes to health, and you know, it's, I'm all for it, man. I know it takes a little bit to get started, but I mean, it's needed, man. It's our health we're talking about. You know what I mean?
It is, and it's like you said. You know, you build the habit, and it's easier. You know, I think next week is when I'm gonna like bring working out back into the routine. Yeah, I'm gonna start working out again. You know, but. I'm an all or nothing guy. So like this whole doing one thing at a time and building a habit one thing at a time is very new to me and very strange. I'm usually like, okay, I'm gonna start waking up at 4 a.m. I'm gonna start eating right. I'm gonna start working out, and I try and do it all at once, and then I drive myself crazy. So we're piecemealing it this time.
Slowly introduce one thing at a time.
Exactly.
Because once you start, like I do it like now, like working out is like the natural thing, right? So you know, I'll go work out. I go a couple times a week. But then because I'm not going every day, then I don't want to load myself up with, you know, heavy foods during the day when I'm all sluggish and don't want to do nothing. So, you know, we eat greens and vegetables and, you know, grains and stuff for lunch, and then have, you know, we do snacks at the nighttime and have whatever for dinner, try to balance it out with what we eat for dinner so it's not too bad, you know what I'm saying? But mainly, you know, protein, chicken, stuff like that, vegetables. But however I cook it, and I mean, dude, Sundays is like, the day, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
beer,
yeah, yeah.
Football, wings, whatever we gonna eat that day. So that's like, it'd be like a cheap weekend if you really think about it.
Yeah.
But I don't go hard, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, I feel you.
But it's good because even then still, like, you go too hard, like, you go hella hard, then Monday you try and work that off, and then yeah, Tuesday yeah, yeah. is really your, like, when you start the week working out days.
Yep.
So, but yeah, man, the routine, man, it becomes easier as you go. I promise you, it'll get easier as you go. And then yeah. you go, I'm telling you, the eating right thing, you're going to want to do it because you've been working out and carrying on.
I was doing this before, you know, and it's the same exact thing that I was doing before, except I'm working out at home instead of at the gym, which I kind of like better, actually. But the thing that I like about the app that I use for my food is it's not just like, it's not counting macros or it is counting calories, but the way that they do it, they basically rate their food by caloric density. So it's the rate of, like, basically calories to mass. And the best way, and this is the thing that, like, blew my mind and, like, really made me understand it. If you look at grapes and raisins, technically they're the same fruit, but if you eat 100 calories worth of grapes, you're going to be more full than you will
than 100 calories of
raisins because of the water and all the extra stuff that's in there. So they rate all their food. It's green, yellow, they just changed it from red to orange. But, like, green is the things with low caloric density. So, like, grapes, whole grains. I eat a shit ton of quinoa. And
I do, too.
Yeah, dude, you can do so much with it. It's like...
yeah, I mean, because you tell me, man, ain't nobody out here eating grapes. So you got to be a certain age to eat grapes. Like, grapes are like... raisins, I meant. Like...
Little box of the sun-dried.
Yeah, anybody eating no raisins out here? At least go to craisins, like regular raisins, bro. That's old school shit right there. Yeah, the only people I know eating raisins like that is fucking white people putting them in shit.
I mean, it tastes good in oatmeal with some cinnamon.
But not in potato salad and the collard greens and the everything else they putting them in. Like, there's one thing that needs to cease to exist is regular raisins.
I think it's my stepmom. On Thanksgiving, somebody in my family, I'm pretty sure it's my stepmom, makes stuffing with raisins. And it's actually decent. Mm-mm.
No, it's not. No, it's not. That's what we're not going to do. No, it's not. You're not even going to. No. There is no room. Like you said, maybe oatmeal. With a couple of raisins peppered in there, but that's about it. If you ain't eating raisins out the box, or if it ain't Raisin Bran, then miss me with all that.
I can't do raisins out of the box. I like the taste of raisins, but when you eat them straight out of the box, inevitably you get that one. You know which one I'm talking about. The one that didn't quite dry out all the way. And it might be like a little bit fermented.
Yeah.
It's like solid wine, but like it tastes worse.
And it makes all the other raisins juicy.
Right. Yeah. There's one in every box. But there is one thing. I don't know why we're talking about raisins right now, but there is one other thing besides oatmeal that raisins are actually good. Have you ever had a peanut butter and raisin sandwich?
No. Because... this goes right there with what I just said about raisins. No, I have not. I don't know anybody that has.
That used to be like a staple in my house when I was a kid.
Just peanut butter and raisin sandwiches?
What's on the other side?
Peanut butter jelly and raisins?
No. There were three peanut butter sandwiches that we ate as kids. Peanut butter and jelly, obviously. Mm-hmm. Peanut butter and banana, otherwise known as the Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
Peanut butter and... Oh, no, there was four. Peanut butter and honey, which is actually pretty delicious.
That's acceptable.
And peanut butter and raisins.
Just peanut butter and raisins. Like, nothing on the other side. Just peanut butter.
Between two pieces of bread.
Peanut butter, raisins, and bread.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, again. And as a healthy snack when I was, like, you know, kindergarten age, Cheerios and raisins in a little sandwich baggie.
I mean, I could see that.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
It was still, what, in the 80s? This is acceptable.
Yeah, yeah.
Early 90s. That's acceptable.
I was 5 in 88, so yeah.
Yeah. We didn't have craisins then, so.
No, craisins.
That's fine. That's acceptable.
People haven't figured out how to leave cranberries out in the sun yet.
Yeah. And this is way before,
everybody
the Caucasian brothers and sisters started putting them in the dishes that they did not or still don't have no business going in at all. At all.
This has got to be the weirdest episode ever.
Dude, we have not said anything about music, but now you touched the note of my spirit with this raisin stuff, man. There's just been so much uncalledness that's going on with food. And that one just takes the cake.
Well, how do you feel about pineapple on pizza?
To each his own, I guess.
This is a controversial conversation, Tess.
I eat one kind of pizza, pepperoni thin crust.
Really? That's it?
That's it. That's it.
I eat three. I eat meat lovers, barbecue chicken.
I've had it.
But if you're doing barbecue chicken, it's got to be deep dish. You got to do barbecue chicken, Chicago style, deep dish pizza, and Hawaiian thin crust.
Okay. I don't really have no thoughts about pepper or
pineapple on pizza.
Pineapple on pizza. Because it just, I'm basic like that. Like pepperoni and sometimes too much. There isn't such thing as too much pepperoni. There is. And some of these places, you know, when you got no pepperoni on one slice and then you got 17 pepperoni on the next slice, like, it tear your stomach up. So you could do like three slices and then that's it for the day.
I will always take the one without the pepperoni. I'm not a big pepperoni guy.
I like a good balance, man. I don't need the overload because, you know, when cooked pepperoni make your pizza like soggy and real oily on top, and that's a turnoff in itself. So
yeah.
It has to be the right amount, you know what I mean? And then if I get the Domino's thin crust, they burn that bitch. No matter what you say, do you say take it out early? You tell them to, you know what I'm saying? Whatever you tell them to do, they gonna burn it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a fine line with the right amount of pepperoni. And then don't over cheese it. Because there's a such thing as too much cheese on a pizza. And oily cheese and pepperoni, it does not go good together at all.
I'm there for the toppings and the sauce. Like, you can take out the cheese. Just give me a cheeseless pizza. Like,
that's a what's that? That's not a margarita. Is it a margarita?
No, margarita has cheese. Talking about Stromboli?
No,
those have cheese in them.
What's that has cheese? There's a cheeseless pizza.
Is there?
No, I'm thinking of
there's a sauceless pizza. White pizza is sauceless.
White pizza. Okay. All right. All
yeah.
Right. I've had that too. Those are good.
Yeah, those are good. Lido's white pizza is the best.
Man, I'm the only Lido's lover in the house.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
But they give you the square nope. pieces, man.
Nope. Nope.
They give you the square pieces where, like, I don't know what it is about square pizzas, but it is impossible to keep track of how much you ate. You give me a medium regular pizza from Domino's, I eat three slices and I'm full. But you give me a like triple extra large Lido's with the square slices, I will eat the whole damn thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Lido's could be trash as hell and we don't even know it because we're just so hooked. Like, I grew up on Lido's pizza. Like,
yeah.
You know, when I started hanging out with my friends, Graham and them, they turned me on to Lido's, man, and I ain't looked back ever since. Cause it's just something about the square slices, and you always eat the outside ones first, so you can get the joints in the middle that have no crust and no edges at all. It's just cheese, and that one pepperoni. And man.
That one single pepperoni.
Yeah, you
eat your way around like a spiral. You just keep getting closer and closer to the center.
And now they got what was it? The last time I got it, it was a few months ago. They got a hot honey pepperoni pizza. And really, they just squirt the hot honey. You know that they squirt the hot honey on top of it, bro.
Yeah.
It was like they did a whole new pizza. That shit was so good. Same pizza. It's just a pepperoni Lido's pizza, but they hit it with the hot honey, and you would have thought they did like a whole new pizza. It was good.
Damn. Yeah. You know, Papa John's has a new pepperoni pizza.
I don't mess with Papa John's.
The Shaq-a-roni. They partnered with Shaq.
You know why?
Shaq's part owner, isn't he?
Yeah, well, Papa John got himself in trouble.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so Shaq, I mean, of course, Shaq was the next big thing. He took that joint over.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he did something. He said something either sexist or racist, one of the two.
One of the two. Yeah, I remember that. I remember something happening, but...
Yeah, he did something.
Well, since we're talking about celebrities and celebrity gossip, I do have one piece of sort of kind of music-related news, I guess, that we could discuss. I don't know if we want to discuss it. Did you hear about Kurt Cobain's daughter?
No. What happened?
Earlier this month, Kurt Cobain's daughter, Frances Bean Cobain, married Tony Hawk's son, and the person who officiated the wedding... was a singer of R.E.M.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Tony Hawk's son has a band.
Yeah, they're called, Dan and I were talking about them the other day. What are they called? Like, Warring or?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
they're really good. They sound like Nirvana if the guitarist of Black Sabbath joined.
Okay.
It's like they got the Black Sabbath guitar tones, but very, very Nirvana feel, too. It's weird. I really like it, but it's, yeah. I was listening to them a few days ago. I saw it, and I saw the wedding thing. Actually, you know who told me about the wedding? My two-year-old son's gymnastics teacher.
Your two-year-old son's gymnastics teacher. So they got to be young. They got to be young.
She's probably like... mid-40s, early-50s.
And she knows about them two cats getting married?
Yeah.
Tony Hawk's kid, they both got to be pretty young. They can't be maybe 20, 21, maybe.
Well, let's see. Kurt Cobain died in...
92-ish.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We don't have to do the math. This is what Google is for. How old is... You know what the top... All I put was how old, and Google auto-populated with how old is Taylor Swift. She's 33, by the way.
Who cares?
How old is Frances Bean Cobain? 31 years old.
Oh, wow.
She was born August 18th, 1992.
Okay.
So 7 days before my 7th birthday.
I was way off. Samsonite.
No, wait, 92. 9th birthday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now that you Google, when did Kurt Cobain die?
Oh, okay. April 5th, 1994.
Damn, 94.
Yeah, the 1900s.
It's crazy, man, because that dude, along with so many others, man, didn't even get to really experience being famous.
Yeah.
But so many other people, man, died so young. It sucks. You know, here lately.
Matthew Perry.
Oh, man. I was about to say that, man. All these, like, it's crazy, man. And, you know, a drummer. I don't think he passed away. There wasn't no drugs or anything like that, but he was a well-known drummer. He played for Ariana Grande, played for Usher, played for a bunch of people, and he's from here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he just passed away a couple days ago. Young dude, 47 years old. Yeah, man, going so young, man.
Aaron Spears.
Yes.
I know who that dude is.
Yeah, wow. Just passed, I want to say earlier this week, maybe Monday, maybe Sunday night, I think.
He was 47 years old on Monday.
Monday.
Well, the family announced it on Monday, so could have been a couple days before that, but yeah. Whoa, he was the drummer on Confessions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah, so the internet has been flooded with clips of him playing, and he's been playing, they had clips of him playing, like, warming up a tour, playing Usher songs, playing Man, he just, yo, he was a good, dope drummer.
Wow, man.
Yeah, man. 47, dude, that's young.
It is. Well, and Matthew Perry, too, I don't think that was, he was sober when he died.
See, he was in almost, the hot tub. He fell asleep.
It was just an accidental, he passed out after playing, I think he was playing pickleball or something with friends and went home, he wanted to get in the hot tub. His assistant went out to run some errands and came back and he was gone.
He had a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it pills or something, right?
Alcohol and, yeah, opiates, I think. His book, actually, I think it came out yesterday.
That was a rush, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, it was already...
Trying to give the Britney Spears book time to get out there and get settled?
Yeah. Well, this is his second book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get that. I'm going to get it on Audible. I gotta read that.
Tanya said the Britney Spears book is pretty good.
Is
I think
it?
She'd be listening to it. Yeah. She's
handsome. Does Britney Spears narrate it?
No.
Oh.
I don't know who does. On something I saw, it was, oh my gosh, I can't think of her name. Not Natalie Portman. I can't think of the lady's name, but it's an actress. But I mean, I want to hear the parts about, because apparently she's been going in on Justin Timberlake, and I want to hear that.
Really?
Dude's he's a tool, man.
Is he?
Dude, I was a Justin Timberlake fan up until... So, Pharrell throws a concert every year, the What's in the Water tour, or What's in the Water, or Something in the Water.
Nah, man, that is outside of my musical realm.
But he throws a huge, like, 3-day concert every year. Normally it's in Virginia Beach.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's where he's from. But this past time he did it, it was in D.C. And okay. Justin Timberlake was on it. And it's all big names, all big name people that he have on there. And when he did it here, last summer, he did it here, and Justin Timberlake was on it. And, you know, DC Go-Go or whatever, they got their own dance called A Beat Your Feet.
Yeah.
And he attempted to do it.
Nah.
You know, he put, dude, he was the raisin in the shit that it doesn't go in. All right. Justin Timberlake put the mayonnaise on Beat Your Feet. I found it downright disrespectful that you're going to come to somebody else's hometown and... attempt and do what you just did for the people to see. It was just downright disrespectful. So ever since then, man, I ain't been rocking with the dude.
Well, I mean, was it an honest attempt or was he just trying to make fun of it?
No, he wasn't making fun of it. He shouldn't have done it. That's how I'm gonna say it. He just shouldn't have done it. All right. Now, there's no honest attempt when you shouldn't be doing something you shouldn't be doing. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to honestly attempt to break in somebody's house knowing that I wasn't supposed to be breaking in somebody's house. Nah, there's no pass on that. This is Justin Timberlake. Like, he can practice. You know what I'm saying? He got the time.
Yeah,
he ain't practice.
Okay.
He ain't practice. He just went out there and did the little dance. And then he was like, hey, yo, DC, Beat Your Feet. Like, everybody was supposed to be like, yeah. Like, some people booed him and everything. Like, you can't.
Damn.
Yeah, bro, it's Washington, D.C., homie. You can't just come in here like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, nah, man. Nah. And ever since that, Justin Timberlake just. And I mean, also, too, I was mad at him because he didn't want to do the reunion tour with the boys. Like, I think that was well overdue. You know what I'm saying? Like,
aren't they doing it, though? Aren't they back?
I don't think so. They did a song. From what Tanya was telling me, they did a song together. And I don't know, they post probably doing a record or something, but they ain't saying nothing about no tour.
Because they've been all over TikTok.
Yeah. And I mean, here's my thing. Backstreet Boys, New Kids, they all kind of came back when it was like, everybody's been popping. Where's NSYNC?
Yeah.
And NSYNC was a big part of that era.
Yeah, they were.
And... Justin ain't one. It's all Justin. The other dudes were trying to do it.
Hold on. I just found an article here. I Googled Britney, or not Britney, NSYNC reunion.
Uh-huh.
The first thing that pops up is an article titled, it's from Stuff Oh, this is like from New Zealand. It's a website called Stuff, and the title of the article is Britney Spears' memoir may have halted an NSYNC reunion.
I mean, I've heard, I haven't heard the book or read the book or anything, but I heard it's some not so nice things about Justin in that joint.
Spears' highly anticipated autobiography, The Woman and Me, released on October 24th, has produced countless headlines with the 41-year-old's admission of aborting a pregnancy she shared with Justin Timberlake and that her former boyfriend had cheated on her.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow. On Instagram, Spears claimed her memoir was already the highest-selling celebrity memoir in history on its first day on shelves.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So apparently he's a douche. I mean, he cheated on, he's with Jessica
Simpson?
No.
Whatever happened to her?
I don't know. The chicken of the sea thing kind of killed her career. Oh my gosh. Justin Timberlake is married to Jessica Biel.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, he cheated on her. Yeah,
why would you cheat on Jessica Biel?
Dude, right? Apparently he's a douchebag, man. So you got a boo button for that dude? Like, let's boo Justin Timberlake.
I don't have a boo button.
Well, you need to.
I need to upload some new sound effects.
You do,
a whole
man.
Library of them. I have a whole library of them.
We need to get one calling him a douchebag and all that. Because apparently he did Britney super wrong. And I feel sorry for her, man. I do. All the, you know, the conservatorship with her parent or her dad, and like, it just, I feel bad for the girl, man.
Yeah.
And it's gone on for so long that she rightfully so, she's out of her mind. And rightfully so, because people have been taking advantage of that girl her whole life. And that's really sad. Her own people, her own family, her own blood been taking advantage of her. Her entire life, man. That's really sad. Like, your dad, you ain't nothing but money to your dad, your parents. Like, come on, man. That is so pathetic, man. Her dad needs a good old face punching.
Yeah. Apparently, I found another article from Billboard. Lance Bass actually stuck up for Justin.
I don't know why. What'd he say?
I'm trying to find out.
About the book?
He didn't trash the book. He basically, in an impromptu airport interview with TMZ, Bass confirmed that he bought Britney's memoir and intended to read it on his flight. The singer also said the memoir is Michelle Williams. Michelle Williams does the voice for the audiobook, by the way.
Okay.
When asked about the heat Timberlake has been receiving from some fans following the memoir's release, Bass responded, "Everyone has their own opinion. I just feel like the world is so full of hate right now that we need to practice a little forgiveness. Britney did, so let's take a note from her."
Did she, though? Us not hearing about it doesn't mean that she forgave him. I mean, clearly that touched on some buried emotions. Probably that whole book did, to be honest with you. Because, I mean, it's a lot. Like, we've seen, not even reading the book, we've seen her life in the public eye and what her family and everybody else did to her. And, you know, how, you know, even now, like, people label her as crazy and stuff like that. You know, I mean, if she did go crazy, she definitely has a reason to, you know, her family turning back. You know, like, she has a right. I mean, I people taking advantage of her. And I think, did she say, I want to say yes, but don't quote me on this. But I think Justin, somewhere in there, said he may have broken up with her via text message. Like, that's hella corny, dude.
Yeah, it is. Right? I've been broken up with over text message before.
Text message?
Yeah,
nah,
dude.
Nah, I ain't never. Mm-mm.
Getting broken up with over text is a very, it's hard to explain. It's a very surreal experience because even if you're like fighting, it seems to come out of the blue, you know, like if you get it over text message, even if you've been fighting via text message the whole time, the breakup seems like, where the fuck did that come from? You know? It's a very surreal experience.
Now we get into the conversation of breakups, but I feel like they're not. There's always like a preempt into whatever the situation may be, you know. Even if it's just like, a very minimal word type situation, you know? Like, I just think that even that right there, I just think that you're kind of in your mind and you know you're about to, okay.
Yeah.
Because body language, you know, tone, all that takes effect to that. So then when you just have it over text message and then, like, you're trying to figure out what angle is coming from and you're like, you know, you got to sit there and wait for the response. So you got to sit in that emote. Like, it's just, I don't know. That's an unfair shake if you ask me. Because you can't really defend yourself, I guess, or like, say your piece because it's over text message. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all.
It's weird. It's weird. But, you know, anywho, I do want to read the Britney Spears memoir. I'm currently in a period of escapism, though. Like, I'm not trying to. I'm reading a lot of fiction stuff right now. Like, okay. I'm not. There was a time when, like, all I was reading was like memoirs and stuff like that. And I think, I don't know. I've backed away from social media. I've backed away from, like, basically anything having to do with other people's shit. Like, it just, I just, you know, I had enough. There's just so much going on right now in the world that I was just like, I can't, like, I just can't do it. So I backed off. I used, how many? I don't know. Did you ever hear of the movie, The Mortal Instruments, City of Bones?
Nope.
Okay. So it's a movie about, like, basically people who are like half angel and they fight like demons and vampires and werewolves and stuff. It was like one movie that was based off the first book in like a 5-book series. And it's definitely like, you know, young adult supernatural type stuff. But that kind of stuff is kind of right up my alley. I love anything to do with like angels and demons and supernatural whatever. So I got the entire series of books and the prequels on Audible, and I'm currently reading those.
Okay.
When I'm done with those 8 books, I will get back into memoirs.
You're gonna have to squeeze Brittany, because now I need you to read it so
we can talk about it.
Yeah, we can come back to this conversation.
So we can have another Jay and Tez episode. And
yeah, because I'm not going to read
Britney
it.
Britney Spears.
I'm not going to read it. I'm taking my stance up on it anyway. Like, I'm on her side.
Yeah.
I just know she, that girl has had a handful of shittiness dealt her way. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
She deserves good things coming her way, man. But it's just the details, man. It sucks. God, yeah. It sucks. It sucks, man. And then to know that, or just to know that so many hands played a part in her unhappiness. You know,
yeah.
That's a lot of douchebaggery.
Yes.
You know what I'm
saying?
It is.
Yes, it is.
That's a lot of people that have, even, man, what's the dude's name? The dancer dude she married, Kevin Federline.
Oh, yeah.
He was on one of the reality shows like back in the day.
Yeah, I can't remember
he was a
which
douche.
One.
I want to say it was like the celebrity house or something like that. He seems like a douchebag. And then I think Tanya said she was with Wade Robinson or whatever his name was, and he was NSYNC's choreographer for a while.
Yeah.
He was the dude that was on the Michael Jackson joint. Remember the two dudes that did the Michael Jackson story?
Yeah.
And said that Michael Jackson touched him in the butthole?
Yep.
Yeah, he was one of them. Yeah. So it's a bunch of craziness. And you hear all these people involved, and it's just, man, it's just crazy. It's nice, man. And now you see why, you know, there's a little bit of understanding to her madness, man, but like, you know, she, like, what has she left to do? Like, she's out here all on her own. That really sucks. Like, you're really out here on your own.
Yeah.
All these years of people taking advantage of you and telling you when to sit and stand and all that stuff. And you, this girl is really out here on her own.
Yeah. It's rough, dude. Like, I could never imagine like dealing with all that stuff. Like I've dealt with some stuff, but that's a whole other level.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So, man, I wish her the best. I really do.
Yeah.
I wish her the best, man. I hope, you know, she can find some sort of peace and ground level in all this, man. Because even now, you know, now that the book come out and everything, there's going to be so many mixed reviews and, you know, people feeling one way or another about it. But, you know, and, you know, when people have negative reviews about stuff or people don't necessarily agree with what you do or how you do things, especially in social media, people go above and beyond to let you know negativity because they want you to know that they said it and you know, just how negatively they feel about you. And I just hope she finds peace. Somehow, some way, I hope the girl finds peace.
Yeah, I think she will. She's been through some stuff, but it feels like, I don't know, with the release of the memoir and the fact that she finally, you know, kind of got out from under her dad's thumb, and I think she can now hopefully find like this space that she needs to get right on the inside, you know? Like it's tough to find time to focus on yourself and find your own peace when you're dealing with a world of shit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard. But, you know, I'm hoping with all this stuff now that she can actually find that, but
it's going to take a little bit.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's a lifelong journey, man. It's going to be there's going to be ups and downs, but you know, as long as she sticks with the journey.
Yeah. I mean, because there's been so much time of marrying people, controlling, and, you know.
Yeah. Well, now she's got to figure out how to do that for herself. And that's like a big, not calling her a toddler by any means, but, you know.
The concept behind it, I get it.
The concept behind it, you know, you got a toddler who's like, I'm a big boy now, and they want to do all the things themselves. But then when you give them the freedom to do it, they're like, I actually don't know how to do any of this because it's all been done for me.
It's all been done. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, now she's got to figure out how to do it herself, which is an obstacle in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, on a lighter note, though, even though this is going to come out like 6 weeks after the fact, how was your Halloween?
I ain't do nothing. Kenzie went trick or treating. Me and Ty don't really celebrate it. It's been a while since me and her actually like celebrated Halloween. Cause we don't go to no parties. We don't do nothing like that. We just make sure Kenzie has a good time. And the last couple of years, you know, she's been in school for Halloween. So,
right.
You know, and now they took it out to schools, man.
Yeah, they took it out of schools here in Columbus.
Did they?
Yeah, dude. They don't. So here's the thing. This is actually a really cool thing about Columbus is they have a lot of like free or really affordable stuff that you can do with your kids. Mm-hmm. Like the Columbus Community Center Network always has like classes and stuff that you can register for. So like we got Caitlin into soccer. She started cheer tonight. She did like a free like 6 week like floor hockey thing that she went to, and she got to like learn how to play hockey a little bit. And like the people that were teaching the class were like the Columbus Mavericks, I think they're called. They're actually like the semi pro team around here. So that was really cool. You know, Killian does like you know, music stuff and like this thing called cardio drumming, which is actually a nice little workout. Basically they stick, you know, the big like exercise balls, the big inflatable ones.
Yeah, yeah.
They put those in laundry baskets and you just grab a pair of sticks and you play drums on them for
cool.
45 minutes. You work up a nice little sweat doing that. It's really cool. But you know, it's like parents and they're, you know, toddlers. So the, you know, you do sure. march, they're all in a big circle. So you march around the circle hitting all the drums and it's really cool. But, there was so much. I took my kids trick-or-treating four times before Halloween.
Damn.
Yeah. So So on the day of Halloween, they don't do anything at the school. No costumes, no costume parade, nothing like that, because there's kids at the school who don't celebrate it, which is whatever. But they did do an after school Halloween thing where like kids could come in their costumes. They had there was a fire truck, so like the little kids could touch the fire truck you could walk through the school to the different classrooms. You went trick-or-treating in all the different classrooms. So, like, all the teachers are sitting outside their classrooms giving out candy.
But after school.
It was after school, so people who didn't celebrate Halloween could opt out. But, yeah, they did the mall that Arian works at. Last Thursday, they did trick-or-treating at the mall, the candy crawl. So you go there, and, like, the big central area of the mall had a whole bunch of, like, activities and stuff that you could do. And then there's a local park that had like a Halloween party where there was a scavenger hunt and you could pick a pumpkin and decorate the pumpkin and a couple other crafts. And there was so much stuff that, yeah, like I said, there was like four different trick-or-treating events before Halloween was even here. So when Halloween hit, you know, Arian and I spent the day together. We went out to lunch and celebrate our anniversary. And then she took the kids trick-or-treating. And I, for the first time ever, did the very dad thing of sitting home and passing out candy to trick-or-treaters. I've never done that before. I watched Insidious and I passed out candy. It was cool,
man.
And then we watched Monster High 2 when the kids got home.
Monster. Oh yeah, yeah. That's the cartoon, right?
No. It started off as a cartoon, but they now have 2 live action movies
for Monster High.
For Monster High.
Okay, I'm trying to remember which one it is. I know which one it is.
There's like there's the werewolf girl. She's the main character. Her name's Claudette. And then there's the mummy girl who Cleo.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All very musical and dancey and
yeah.
Just, you know, low budget costumes and special effects, and you know, it's a Disney movie, but it's not on Disney.
What?
You know how, like, okay, I know
Disney,
you've seen
Disney makes it?
Well, no, it's not a Disney movie, but it looks it would be a Disney movie. Okay, it looks it was made by the same people who did, like, Descendants and Zombies and all those movies.
Yeah, remember? That's a Descendants, I know.
Yeah.
Descendants is the shit, man. Rest in peace to that young man, Cameron, man. Descendants was it, man.
You know they're coming out with another movie.
Who's Descendants play?
Nobody. The only original cast member in the new movie is going to be Uma, Ursula's daughter.
And that's, oh my gosh.
China Ann McClain.
Yeah.
So she's the only original member, and then the story is going to revolve around Red, who is the daughter of the Queen of Hearts from Alice in Wonderland.
So we're going new characters?
Mostly new characters, yeah. Okay. And then, like Ben's not going to be in it. Mal's not going to be in it. Kaylin was Mal for Halloween.
That was Kinsey. That was one of Kinsey's favorite characters.
Oh, yeah. Dude, she. We got the costume. It was like the $60 costume from Spirit Halloween. And
the legit joints.
I got some hair chalk, and I colored her hair purple. Yeah, she went all out.
Man,
she had the gloves and everything.
Chilling like a villain is my joint.
Chilling, you know, I'm a fan of chilling like a villain's good, but I'm a fan of Queen of Mean.
Yeah, that's a good
Queen
one.
Of Mean's
that's
good.
One. That's a good one. Yeah.
That second verse, she sounds like Eminem in the second verse.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
The anger burns my skin, third degree. I was like, shit.
Now this gotta come correct, bro. I mean, the songs, the acting, it's gotta come correct. Cause
yeah.
This'd be what, three? Number three, right?
Four.
I thought, yes. It was only
now, the original one is the one where Mal and Evie and what are their names? The other two come to the school. The second one is the one where they meet Uma, and like she's the big baddie in the second one. And then the third one is the one with Queen of Mean.
Which one is the one when they're trying to teach the kid how to be bad?
That's the second one.
Because they meet
Because they go to the Isle of the Lost. I can't believe we're talking about this right
yes.
now. They go to the Isle of the Lost to look for Mal.
Yeah, and that's when they bust out with chilling like a villain, because telling him he gotta fit in and all that kind of stuff.
Yep. Those soundtracks are on repeat in our car, man. Every time we get in the car, can I listen to Descendants soundtrack? Which one? Two. And then we finish that. Can we listen to Descendants 3? God.
Yeah, the music on them joints are incredible, man. Incredible. Yeah. That's some good writing right there.
There's some good music. The Monster High movies have some decent music, too.
You know who got decent music, too?
Huh.
Don't pull my man card, but Little Mermaid. Not Little Mermaid. My Little Pony, Equestrian Girls.
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, yeah.
When she's, you better believe I got tricks up my sleeve.
Like, yep.
That, yeah. Yeah.
Dude, when they did the reboot, the movie, the first movie, when they rebooted it, they had some decent music in it too.
Yeah.
For anybody who happens to be listening to us for the first time, we're both girl dads. Just
give a little context to the matter.
Yeah, a little context. Yeah. We are girl dads. So
we do not sit at home and watch these shows just because we feel like watching some My Little Pony and some Monsters High.
So funny story about that, actually. Don't pull my man card. I'm going to give you the context first. So it's actually because I know how you get. You're not going to let me get to the context if I tell you the punchline first. So, all right. A while ago, I put out a video on storytelling, right? Focusing on story versus plot.
Okay.
And to illustrate it, I used a children's book. I used Alexander, the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day, right? It's my favorite children's book of all time. And the video blew up, right? So, and it blew up, and people in the comments told me, like, you know, because you used a children's book, basically, it was easier to digest and understand what you were talking about because the story is simple. Mm-hmm. Right. So I can now take that information and expand it. So what I wanted to do, I never ended up making the video because I pivoted my channel, but I wanted to do a video on basically episodic story arcs. So like if you're doing like a show, right, there's the story arc within each episode, but then there's also the story arc that goes across the whole season.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, let's go the children's route again. So I watched all of My Little Pony on my own. I watched the whole thing. And I was taking notes the whole time of like, okay, so how does the story arc work within the episode? And how does the story arc work over the course of the seasons? And I you know, was taking notes and scripting out the video and outlining the video. But Arian caught me watching it while I was making the kids' lunches in the kitchen. I brought my iPad up and I was just watching it while I was making lunches.
It's research.
That's what I said. But for the next, like 2 weeks, Arian was going around calling me a brony to anybody who would listen.
Oh my God.
But yeah. That's a thing that happened. But I'll tell you what, man, I did not know that Rainbow Dash was a girl when I first started watching.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
You only find out who they really are when you get to Equestria Girls, because in the show, in regular My Little Ponies, they're all just ponies galloping, having a good time, and they're fighting. I forgot who the villains were.
Yeah, I can't remember. The one that lived in the moon or whatever it was.
Yeah. On the Equestria Girls, like, they're getting down to, like, situations happening in school, and they still got a battle and stuff like that, but, like, this is all shit that's happening in school, you know what I'm saying? They gotta come up out of situations that's going on in school. So it's more, still it's a cartoon, but it was a little bit more, I guess, relatable for some kids, because they're walking upright and they're singing and carrying on.
Yeah.
But, I liked it. I liked the fact that she liked it. There was something new.
Yeah.
You know who else had dope music?
Who?
Yo Gabba Gabba.
Oh yeah, Yo Gabba Gabba was the Aquanauts.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, great music. Dude, weird music, but man, it was great.
The Roots, Erykah Badu,
yeah.
Questlove, Bootsy Collins, Jack Black, Mos Def. Everybody was on, man, rest in peace to Big Marquee. Cause you know, Biz was like the Yo Gabba Gabba DJ. He was like the dude on Yo Gabba Gabba. Him and DJ Lance were like best friends, man. Biz Marquee, man. God rest his soul, man. That was a good dude. That was a good dude.
Yeah.
I remember a time I saw him at the mall. Me, Reza, and Bjorn. It was at Laura Mall. And Reza was driving off. And this car, this Mercedes, come pulling in the other way, and we're you know, we're doing this like this, and I was like, "Yo, that was Biz Marquee, young." And Russ was like, "No, it wasn't. That was not." I was like, "Yo, turn around! I swear to God, turn around!" And turn around, man, pull back around. He parks and he's getting out. He's walking in the mall, and I was like, "Yo, that's Biz Marquee." And I said, "No, it's not." So, dude, I'm hanging out the window in the back of the Benz. I'm hanging out the window like, "Hey, yo, Biz, give him one of these like this." Yo, he turned around and was like, "What's up?" And I was like, "Yo, yeah, yo, that was Biz Marquee, dog. Biz Marquee." I'm like, "Reza, young, go back, man. Let's go holler at him." Yeah, Reza went about that. I'm like, I just saw Biz Marquee at the mall.
Did I ever tell you about when I met the singer of Taking Back Sunday?
No.
All right, so... this was when, which album was it? Happiness Is had just come out. And I had just seen like their big local show at, I think it was Fillmore. It was them and the Used. They were touring with the Used because they had both dropped albums at like the same time. And so I went to that show. Dude, literally like 3 days later was my birthday, and we found out they were playing the little outside stage at Ram's Head Live. So my friends bought tickets and took me for my birthday. And we're sitting there, we're waiting for the show to start, and the Menzingers were opening. They're so good. Menzingers are awesome, but they had actually had all their gear stolen. So they had like a bucket at their merch table for donations to buy more gear.
New gear.
Yeah. Baltimore.
Damn.
Man. But,
damn.
So, like, it's in between the Menzingers and Taking Back Sunday, and everybody's sitting there. And I, like, look to my left, and Adam Lazara is, like, standing outside there just smoking a cigarette. Coincidentally enough, that's also this kind of the same way that I met the singer of Comeback Kid. But, yeah. So I, like, walked up to him, and I was like, I think I talked really fast because I was like, you know, I'm old man emo, so I was kind of like, this is holy shit. But I just basically came up to him. I was like, dude, you're awesome. Today's my birthday, and I've been ripping you off on stage for years.
Oh my God.
And he just looked at me, he's like, that's like the nicest thing anybody said to me.
Oh my gosh.
I got a picture with him, and then he went on stage and they killed it.
Did you ever meet Bert?
Never met him in person, but I did DM him on Facebook Messenger back when he was on Facebook.
Yeah, okay. I think you told us that part.
I've met a few people. I met the singer of Taking Back Sunday. I've met the singer of Comeback Kid in Philly when I went to go see. It was Comeback Kid, Silverstein, and Rise Against. And I met the singer of Comeback Kid, the singer of Silverstein, and the drummer of Rise Against.
That's the big dude, right?
He's sort of big. He's not huge, but he's sort of big. But he's like that dude, like, probably my favorite punk rock drummer. I think he's the dude. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know how people's hands can move that fast when they're doing fills. But it's like, it sounds like he's just like dragging his sticks, you know? Like, it's just so smooth, but he's like not touching the rims. So he's just like, I'm like,
oh, man.
Making a sound bite of that and uploading it to the sound effects panel of Riverside.
So, no, we were talking about drummers tomorrow. Oh my gosh, dude. We have covered so many random topics in this conversation.
I know.
Towards the end here is when we finally get about music.
Yep.
And there was music about cartoons and Disney Channel shows at that.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, how it is. Well, I guess we could talk about one more music thing. I'm writing music again.
Yeah, you told me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are you writing? What style are you writing?
I call it mature pop punk. So it's you know, got the punk, you know, punk, pop punk, emo music, but the lyrics are not like, you know, shouty lyrics about a girl. They're about like the actual like stuff that I'm dealing with today as a 40-year-old parent of two with sometimes crippling ADHD who's been stripped out of Baltimore and thrown in the Midwest.
I gotta hear what this album's about.
I think I've got an album in there somewhere. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm still playing around with Pro Tools, learning how to do it. I don't have an electric drum set yet, nor the money to get one. So I'm doing basically everything is with like virtual instruments, except for, you know, the guitar.
You got some stuff written?
Not yet. I mean, I've got some lyrics written. I've got some ideas for some riffs, but I don't have anything fully composed. But when I do, it will be premiered on the Club 937 podcast.
Yeah, we need that first one, bro. We need that. Oh, yeah.
You'll get it.
First one that
comes out. I've got one of the songs I think you'll definitely appreciate. It's I talked about it before. I haven't come up with a solid name for it, but the working title is Survivor's Guilt.
Okay.
It's, you know, talking about basically, you know, how somehow I am still here. You know, after all the shit that I've been through, but like other people, you know, they lost their lives to addiction.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
So, yeah. Which, like, you know, most days I'm grateful for, but there are occasionally, you know, when it first hits you, when you first hear about another friend dying, like, you're like, fuck, man. Like, why me? You know, like, why did I get to survive? You know? So that song is about, like, that feeling.
I hear you. Kudos to you, man. Shit, man. All the people we know that, you know, we lost along the way, man. Clearly, it has not been an easy thing to come back from, you know.
Yeah.
I applaud you, man. Like, I tell you, I'll be honest with you, man. John Blank still eats me up to this day.
Yeah, me too.
So I know it was a fight. Definitely a fight, man. And, I mean, gosh, man, so many people we've lost to, and that's just, I mean, I can go on the list of just people we knew through de novo days.
Yeah.
So many people, man.
Mm-hmm.
From drugs. Like,
yep.
It's crazy, man. You know, God rest their soul, man. But yeah, man, I'm happy for you, dude. I'm glad you bounced back. You found your niche in life, man. And, you know, shit, this podcast is giving us another way and another reason to work together yet again.
Yep. Thank God, man. I was missing you guys, man. Like, I was missing, like, I don't know if I ever told you guys this, but like one of the reasons, I don't know, when you guys like were doing The Banished, mm-hmm. I was still in like, you know, semi early recovery. You know, I don't know. Danova broke up when I had like around 2 years sober or something like that. But I wasn't going to like I would go to like big stadium shows, you know, but like the local scene was still a little bit much for me. But like also I knew me, and I knew if I was standing out in the crowd, like it would be so hard for me to be like out there in the crowd watching you guys do what I used to do with a new singer, you know, like it would have been rough. I think I could handle it now, but like, man, I missed it. Like I miss it. There was a point when I you know, bought an acoustic guitar, wrote a little like 4 or 5 song demo, still have the song somewhere, and then put that down for a long time, and now I'm getting back into writing again because, I don't know, something about being away from Baltimore has me writing music again.
It's in you, man. It's in you. Because, to be honest with you, like, even now, sometimes, I mean, we bullshit on practice and stuff like that, but the longest being away was after the Banish and going into the pandemic. It started to get depressing. I think the pandemic brung it on more because we had to stay away from each other.
Yeah.
So it made it that much more, it made the feeling that much more intense. But like after the Banished, it just, I don't know, man. I hate to put it like this, man, but after a while, it felt like a big, almost like a big waste of time, if you will.
Yeah.
Because we clearly we got, you know, me, Frank, and Dan, so we still got a band out of it. We got some, you know, brothers out of it. But, like, just the way things turned out with Andy, man, it's just disappointing. It's disappointing.
Yeah.
You know, so it felt like, you know, our time was, I wouldn't say a waste of time as to our time was taken for granted. Put it that way. I won't say a waste of time because we got good music out of it. Those of us that did what we were supposed to do,
right?
We got good music out of it, but not everybody did what they were supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? So we left some things on the table. We left unfinished business on the table, and that sucks, man. Because there's all that what shoulda, woulda, coulda, you know. Hell, I would have just rather had taken a break and come back to De Novo, and we would have wrote some crucial bangers, because the way Dan was writing at the time, we would have had some consistency. We would have had to keep an eye on you, but we would have had consistency, and we knew what we was capable of doing and where we could have went. So, you know, I don't regret messing with Andy. I regret that our time was not valuable to everyone.
Yeah.
As it should have been. Because I had a kid, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep.
Mackenzie was born during the band's time. So anything that we was doing, especially you know, when we went through, you know, the stuff that we went through, I'm still trying to take care of my family and still find time to go and record music and do all this other stuff, you know what I'm saying? And for it to not be taken serious, man, it was just it hurt, because it felt like how could somebody you thought you shared this passion with and wanted the same thing and wanted it bad enough how you did, you thought you had that in common, and then so how could somebody just not take it serious enough to do what they needed to do for this thing, this monster that we created to last?
Because
the Banish was a beast, man. We were good.
Yeah. I heard some of your studio stuff. Never got to see you guys play live, but I heard your studio.
It just got to a point where, I mean, we were canceling shows. It just, you know, music never got finished. Like, it just got bad. And a lot of the shows that we had to cancel, like, towards the end there, a lot of shows we had to cancel because Frank and Dan, or, I'm sorry, Frank and Andy do snow removal for their jobs. Yeah. So a lot of shows was coming up, and they couldn't do it because they had to go do that.
Yeah.
So it was just like, all right, then, I mean, like, why are we taking shows? Then we stopped jamming, and, you know, and one thing led to another, and it just fizzled out.
Yeah.
And I honestly feel like the ones that are supposed to be together are together.
Yeah.
And that's the three of us, you know?
Yeah. Well, I remember coming to the 110 Roars practice after we did our very first episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
The podcast. Yeah. God, that seems like it was so long ago. But man, being back in this spot and like seeing you guys play, I was like, fuck, I miss this.
Man, it, gosh, man, three bands in that area.
Yeah.
Three bands, bro. It's been some time, man. We've been through a lot, man.
Yeah, for sure.
We've been through a lot, bro. So it's definitely good to be on the other side with y'all, man.
Absolutely.
Indeed.
Talk.
On that note, bro, it's been, damn, we've been on this journey for an hour and a half.
Yeah. Yeah, we have. Another marathon episode.
I know. Nah. We don't need no guests. We could do this.
Yeah. As long as you don't mind talking about Britney Spears and Disney music and...
We ain't even scratch the surface of how I feel about things. there's another...
A whole other layer to that onion.
There's another Jay and Tez episode coming. I swear it's coming soon. Yeah, I swear it's coming soon, dude. Because we just touched the surface. We only talked music like 10 minutes ago. So, yeah, we got a whole can to open up, man.
Yep, for sure.
Well, on that note, my dude, any last words for the evening?
It was fun hanging out with you, man.
Hell yeah, dude. Just the two of us. The two of us.
This reminds me of late nights outside of Abs' house.
Oh, my God.
But,
you took it there.
With a lot less tomfoolery. I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, man.
It's a lot less, oh, my God, Jay dying on my couch.
Well-earned tomfoolery, I'll tell you that. Well-earned. You worked hard for that.
Yep.
Yeah, we worked hard for that, man.
But, hope you guys enjoyed the episode as much as we did. If you did, make sure you give us a thumbs up or 5 stars or whatever option you got. Just tell us that you liked it. Make sure you follow us wherever we can be followed. Links in the show notes. And, thanks for listening. Tez, you want to take us out?
Yeah, man. Thanks for listening. Like he said, Jay, man, I appreciate you coming on, man. Just me and you, you know. I felt like we've been close already, but we just got one step closer.
Yep, man. Bonding over Disney music.
I know, right? Dude, who knew? Oh, man. Yeah, support us, man. If you don't do anything else in your time, support Cystic Fibrosis. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. And thank you for listening. Peace.
Later.